How many know that? Before the end of this service, you could be healed tonight. Amen. Before the end of this service, you could receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Before the end of this service, you could have a miracle come your way. My Lord, let me tell you, there's been times I'd leave church and go home and find a miracle right there waiting on me. Amen. Anybody know what I'm talking about? There's got to be an expectation. Amen. You've got to expect. Now, I'm going to give you credit for praying. I thank God for you to pray, and we're going to continue to talk about it, but how many is looking for the answer for it? How many is living in expectation that God is going to answer the prayer? The question many times ain't that if God can answer the prayer. What many people ask is, will God answer the prayer? Amen? There's not one in here that would doubt that God can. I'd hope not. If you are, you need to get an altar tonight. But I think a lot of times people wonder if God will. You know, I could heard him speak to me today. He said, all you got to do is believe that I'll do it. Amen? All you got to do that is to believe that I will do it. And it starts on our knees before God. It starts with having a prayer life. In fact, go back to Matthew 21 and verse 13 tonight. Going to speak part two on this message that I started Sunday morning. Without prayer, we create a mess. But when you got prayer in the house of God, let me tell you what's going to happen. It's going to turn into a house of power. Did you hear me? Eventually, let me tell you, if this church keeps praying, it will be a bigger force to reckon with than they ever thought of before. Azusa Street prayer. Amen? The great moves of God, prayer. Wigglesworth, prayer. Wesley, prayer. Hall, Lester Summerall, prayer. My Lord, you can study the ones. Spurgeon, prayer. They were committed to prayer. They were a house of prayer instead of a den of robbers. Matthew 21 and 13, Jesus said this about his house. And he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. But you have made it a den of thieves. That's what I want to continue to talk about, being the house of prayer, being the house that God has intended the church to be. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, Lord, and we lift you up, dear God, and we praise you, dear God, for everything you've done, dear Lord, tonight, Father. Lord, we just exalt you, dear God, and we praise you, dear God, Lord. Lord, everything you've done this week in this revival, Lord, what you're going to do tonight and the rest of this week. Oh, God, we ask for your anointing, dear God, tonight, Lord. We ask for your divine healing, Lord, your miracles, your presence to be made manifest. Lord, we can't have your power without your presence. And without your presence, there is no power. And if there's no power, there's no presence. Lord, we ask for an inhabitation of this church. We ask for you to inhabit this house. And let us be the house that you intended for us to be. Lord, we give you glory, God, and we give you praise, and we give you honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Sunday morning I started this message, and I talked about how God intended his house to be a house of prayer. But many have turned it in to a den of thieves. In fact, prayer in most churches today is mostly neglected. We replace the altar with entertainment. We replaced intercession with playing around. And the list can go on and on. If you were to look around, how many churches are really committed to prayer? How many people that are living for Christ are being the house of prayer that God had intended for them to be? In fact, many today, the many have turned the house of God into a den of thieves. And I talked about our bodies being the house of God and the temple of God. The scripture tells us, know you not that your bodies are the temple of God? The Bible also says, he that destroy the temple of God, his body, God shall destroy also. In fact, today that many are not, reason prayer is not being answered. The reason prayer that answers the prayer is not coming to many. And God's not doing what he wants to do in the body of Christ. It's just like in Jeremiah's day. We've turned it into a den of thieves in many cases. In Jeremiah chapter 7 verses 8 through 12. The Bible tells us right here. The eight sins of Judah, you could say right here. Behold, you trust in lying words that you cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do these abominations? Is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, said the Lord. But go ye down to my place, which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people, Israel. I'm afraid the church no longer looks at the things of God as sacred anymore. We don't look at the things of God as being holy. We think the things of God lightly. We treat the presence of God nonchalant and don't give him the respect that is need to be done, and he needs, even in our own lives. What has happened? The house of God in many cases have become a den of thieves or a den of robbers. There is no answers to prayer because the house of God has become a den of thieves. But yet, even in some churches' circles, even some among the body of Christ, people just don't like to pray anymore. People just don't want to spend time in the presence of God like they once did. I am reminded of a story of a woman who started to work in a cotton factory. And over the machine was a card that read, if your thread gets tangled, send for the foreman. Well, lo and behold, the thread got tangled. So she tried to untangle the threads herself. And soon after, they were hopelessly tangled. And then she called the foreman. And when he came, he asked her, you have been working on these, haven't you? She said, yes, I have. And I did my best to fix it. And the foreman's reply was, no, you did not do your best. Your best was to call me. How many know today this is a good story about when God's people forget to pray, when they neglect to be the house of prayer, they entangle themselves in bigger messes than to begin with. They create bigger problems than it started out to be. If this woman would have just called the foreman from the very beginning, it would have never got into the situation that it was into. But because she tried to put her own hand into it, it began to get tangled even deeper. And that is the picture tonight of how many tonight are creating bigger messes. How many are creating bigger problems in their life because they neglect prayer tonight. But church, if you're going to be the house of power, you're going to have to first be the house of prayer. Let me state that again. If you're going to be the house of power, you're going to have to be the house of prayer. Did you hear me tonight? How many heard that again? If you're going to be the house of power that God wants His church to be, then you're going to have to first be the house of prayer. But if we don't pray, we're going to see ourselves get entangled even more. If one don't pray, you're going to see an entanglement of your mess greater. The fact is, you look in the book of Joshua and you see a great man of God. He was a warrior of God. He was the one who succeeded Moses, who accomplished great military mights. But one time, he forgot to pray. And my Lord, the mess that he created was something that God never had intended for him to even encounter. And I think about how many things could have been avoided in one man's life, in one's life, if they would have just taken it to God in prayer instead of taking it into their own hands. Sometimes I think we like to throw logs onto the fire. We like to keep the mess a-going instead of putting the fire out. We want to keep the fire a-going. We tend to make our own put our own hands into things. And when man puts their hands into things, guess what begins to happen? They begin to weave more tangled webs. When they begin to place themselves there, they find themselves in defeat instead of victory. And that's exactly what this great military warrior, this great man of God, Joshua, did when he failed to seek God at a battle of Ai. He had just assumed that victory would come that day. But Joshua 7:4 tells us about this great man of God. When he failed to seek God, they went up to Ai. And it should have been an easy battle. But listen right here. So they went up thither, other people, about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. Let me tell you what happened. They got their tails handed to them that day. In a place where they should not have been defeated. In a place where it should have been victory. Turned out to be a place of utter defeat. It turned out to be a place where a big upset happened. Why? Because Joshua failed to seek the counsel of God. Joshua just assumed that victory was coming his way. And he failed to seek God. Why he was just assuming these things, there was something that was going on in the camp. There was sin that was taking place in the camp of Israel at that time. Achan was still in the accursed thing. Achan was still in the garment things that belonged to God. And God was not looking kindly upon it. Sin had invaded the camp. And Joshua, if he would have just sought the Lord, would have got the answer what was going on that day. And he could have took care of it before going into that land of Ai. But instead of seeking God, instead of taking care of seeing what was going on. Instead, he just went upon his own presumption and went that day and got his tail handed to him in a humiliating defeat that should have never took place, all because one man did not seek the face of God. You would have thought Joshua would have learned his lesson this day. You would have thought Joshua would have learned to seek the face of God for the answers after this defeat. But you can read on over in Joshua 9. Here was another time they failed to seek God, and they fell into deceitment. In Joshua 9 and 14, and the men took victuals, took of the victuals, and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. The whole time the Gibeonites had come, and they were coming disguised, trying to intermingle with the Israelites. And you know Joshua did not seek God. And you know they intermingled right there, and this should have never took place. They came into a league with the Gibeonites, and they fell into deception because they sought not God. What I'm trying to tell this church this evening, you better pray about the company you keep. You better pray about those that come walking into your camp. You better pray about those that you hang around with. You better pray about those that want leadership. You better pray about those that want to be in ministry. Not everybody needs to be, is coming to really try to do a work for God. How many know that? But they, not everybody that comes confessing Jesus is of Jesus. Not everyone that comes confessing the things of God is of God. Not everyone that comes claiming something is what they say they are. My Lord, tonight, let me tell you, Satan is the master disguiser. Satan, the Bible says, appears as an angel of light. The Bible also, Jesus even told us to beware of wolves in sheep's clothing. How can we know these things? Because when you begin to pray, I'm convinced God will give you discernment. I am convinced that God will give you discernment. My Lord, today, let me tell you, in this day, in this hour that we are living, the people of God need to get back on their faces before God again. Because I'm telling you today, many of the world has took over, and the church is looking more like the world than the world is looking like the church. We've allowed our society and culture to influence the church world when the church should be the influence of the culture of our time. Where does it all start around that to many? The church is a laughing stock. In many cases, you can turn it on and you can see just the things that are going on in the world are going on in the house of God. In many cases, the house of God is in no better shape than the world's house is. Something's wrong right there. If there's going to be an awakening, if there's going to be a great revival, let me tell you tonight, it must start in the house of God. It must start among God's people tonight. It must start with the people of God getting back on their knees before God. It must start to a recommitment to prayer, fasting, and the Word of God. It must start getting back to business and meaning business with God. In fact, let me tell you, here's another incident of a man that sought not the Lord, but I believe that died before he should. In 2 Chronicles 16 and 12, and Asa, in the 30th night year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceedingly great. Yet in his distress, he sought not the Lord, but two physicians. Now let me tell you what kind of physicians these was. These were probably Egyptian physicians that used charms, incantations, and mystic arts. But the problem with Asia he turned to these things instead of turning to God, instead of looking up to God. There's many questions of what kind of disease he had in his foot. Some believe it was a severe type of gout. I don't know, but it was a deadly disease that killed Asa at the young age of 41 years of old because he sought not the counsel of God. Can I tell you, this is what happens when we seek not the counsel of God. When we neglect prayer in our churches. When we neglect the things of God and we just go on about our everyday business, running to this and running to that instead of running to God. Let me tell you today, I'm convinced there's more people that put their faith in what a doctor says than what Jesus says. There's more people that put their faith into what the world is saying than what Jesus is saying. There's more people that are running to the things of this world, to the culture of this world, to the ungodliness of this world than they are running to Jesus. My Lord, in this day we wonder where the power of God is. I'll tell you where it is. It's still there. It's in his presence. But when you don't seek the presence of God, when you seek not God, you're not going to have the power of God. In order to see the house of God, to be the power that God wants it to be, the house of power, it must seek the presence of God. Let me tell you, in each case, these things could have been prevented if they would have just sought the Lord. What messes could have been avoided if they would have just sought the Lord and got the counsel of God? I ask you tonight to look in your life and ask yourself what things could be avoided if I just had sought the counsel of God. What things could have I've turned into a bigger mess that may not be the mess that I'm in right now if I would have just sought the counsel of God, just like these that I mentioned right here in the scripture right here, just like Asa and just like Joshua. Many of us today, many of you today, have the same problem. We don't want to run to God. We want to run to the arm of flesh. But my Bible tells me, woe unto them who trust in the arm of flesh. I don't know about you tonight, but I want to run to the arm of God. I want the hand of God to be beside of me. I want the hand of God directing my path. I want the hand of God upon me. My Lord, tonight, I can't help it when trouble comes. But if I got the hand of God beside of me, let me tell you, he's going to deliver me from all of these things. The Bible says many are the affliction of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them from them all. My Lord, tonight, my Lord, many today ain't seeking the counsel of God. I am convinced tonight our greatest problem is society, in our homes, in our nation. The mess that we see today is because the body of Christ is not seeking the counsel of God. Our homes have neglected the altar. Amen? Let me tell you something. Parents, grandparents, the schools ain't going to give on Jesus. The public schools ain't going to give on Jesus. Did you hear me? Amen? 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 Oh, our government ain't going to give on Jesus. But what do they see in our homes? Do they see a grandparent or a parent that has an altar? Did you hear me? Do they see a grandparent or a parent that attends church? We want to know why our kids are falling into the trap that we're falling into. Our kids are falling into drugs. They're falling into alcoholism. They're falling in perversion. Our kids are falling into the traps of the devil. Why? Because I'm telling you, the altar has been broken down into homes. The altar has been broken down into churches. Our society is going to hell in a handbasket. My Lord, if you look at our society today, there's people, I don't know whether they're male or female anymore. There's some people that are talking about they're wanting to be, they feel like they're an animal. I'm telling you, look how crazy our society is. You got men marrying men. Yuck. Hey, man, sorry, I haven't seen a man yet that I would want to lay a thing on it. Anybody know what I'm saying tonight? My Lord, but this has become the norm. This has become accepted in our societies. It is gaining way in our churches. Abortion is another issue of this hour that is going on. People say, I got the right to kill my baby. What about that baby's right? What if it's a woman's right? What if that baby's a little girl? What about her right? Amen. I'll tell you, abortion is being the slaughter of innocents. It's hit our land today. Let me tell you, we're no bit better than the nations overseas that are shooting chemical weapons at their kids. Let me tell you, we just do it in a different way. It's called Planned Parenthood. It's legalized over here. We're throwing our kids to Moloch, if you will. That's in the Bible where they sacrifice their child to that Moloch god right there, burn them in the fire. My Lord, you see what is going on when the altar of God has been broken down. I'm telling you, Brother Harold mentioned it, and I'm going to mention it. Churches don't have no altar no more. And you see abortion coming through. Prayer has been took out of school, and violence is filling our school lands today. Our society is in a mess. Our country is in a mess. And let me tell you, I don't want to blame the mess on what's going on in D.C. or the political climate. Let me tell you, it starts in the house of God. It starts in the people of God and having an altar before God. This is what happens when the altar has been broken down. This is what happens when there's no prayer taking place. My Lord, I'm a preaching better than you're a shouting. I'm telling you tonight, God may move different, but I'm giving you something you need to hear, because our society's going to hell. Where's the church at? Where's the church at? Are we on our knees? Let me tell you, look around. Our government's a mess. How many know that tonight? If you don't believe me, just turn on the news. Our news media is in a mess. You know how a politician and a news reporter, you know when they're lying? When they're opening their mouth. I'm telling you tonight, society is in a mess. The things they're trying to legalize in this day. Let me tell you, they're under trying here in Pennsylvania to legalize recreational marijuana use. Amen? Let me tell you what's coming. You're going to see a day, if God tarries, the church don't take a stand, and it'll blow your mind. You'll be able to marry two or three, four different people, and it all be legalized. You'll be able to marry your dog or your cat, and there's people that wants to do that, and it'll be accepted by the norm. This is what happens when the altar of God is broken down. Drugs and violence are filling the airways. Even in some of these kids' programmings today, just back a few weeks ago, let me tell you, sometimes back in these kids, my little girl used to watch it, but we stopped her from watching it on YouTube, called Peppa Pig. You know, the cartoon wasn't so harmless. It's what was popping up during this cartoon. Somebody had hacked it, and the demon was getting in there telling the kids to go commit suicide. Go do this. Go hurt somebody. Go harm someone. Harm yourself. Because if you don't harm yourself, then I'm going to harm you. Let me tell you, some of our songs that seem so harmless, even in our kids, you pay them backwards. And they're trying to get our kids to play allegiance to Lucifer. The TV show Lucifer. Anybody ever heard of it? It's a show portraying Satan as good. And Michael as bad. Anybody know who Michael's referring to? The archangel. There's also another one coming out called Evil that glorifies Satanism. I believe it will be appearing on ABC sometime soon, if I'm not mistaken. But I know it is coming out. I'm telling the church, you need to wake up tonight. I'm telling the church, you need to waken through the hour that we are in right now. Just like the Apostle Paul said, we need to redeem the time because the days are evil. My Lord, tonight, where is the church? Where is the church standing up declaring same-sex marriage still an abomination to God? Amen? Where is the church saying they ain't but two genders, male and female? And if you're created a male, that's what God created you. Amen? I don't care how much lipstick dresses you put on, you're still a male. Amen? Oh, we can go on. Where is the church standing up against the ungodly abortion industry? Do you know there's some that are accepting abortion? I seen something online the other day that made me quiver. And that was these so-called preachers. I call them so-called because they're no more of God. They don't know who God is. They're not right with God. I'll tell you right now, they're on their way to hell. That's strong, preacher. I'll tell you why I say that. Because they stood in an abortion clinic and tried to pronounce the blessings of God over it. They should have been standing there and being like John the Baptist and crying out, repent and prepare ye the way of the Lord. They should have been standing there praying, God, shut this ungodly, this child murdering place up. But instead, they were sitting there putting their blessings on it, and they were just as lost as those abortion doctors was. My God, let me tell you, we better wake up. The hour's at hand. Amen? The hour's at hand. My Lord, I'm on to something tonight. Can I preach a little while tonight? You may not shout like you did last night, but I'm telling you, I want to leave you here tonight. Would you thank it? And would you get on your knees and standing before God? Her society, her nation, her homes are broken up. Let me tell you, there's an attack on the family like we've never seen. Amen. How many know what God instituted first? The family. Like I told you before, I don't back off saying this. Don't get me wrong. I love everybody in here. But you don't come before faith. Amen. 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 She's family. Amen. She's family. Amen. She pulls more influence with me than anybody in here will. And it should be that way. She'll get more. She got her Christmas and birthday today, and I looked at her and I said, they're going to have to take up an offering for me. I'm telling you, it didn't take long to wind it up. No, what I'm telling you right now, but Satan is trying to destroy our families. Satan is trying to rob our families. Satan is trying to defy the family. Let me tell you this, listen here. And I don't care if they hear it. I don't care if some liberal politician, some ACLU hears this. Let me tell you, Supreme Court of the United States, a couple years ago, you tried to redefine marriage. Let me tell you, you can't redefine what God's already defined. He calls marriage and a family one man and one woman. Let me tell you, two men or two women ain't nothing more than an abomination to God. My Lord, tonight, wake up, church. Her kids are being indoctrinated with ungodly things in our society. Her kids are being indoctrinated with perversion in our public school systems. They're being indoctrinated with Islam. How many know that? Our kids are being indoctrinated with Islam. I don't know how it is in the rural counties, but I know there's some, even in our public schools here in the United States, they're rolling out the mats and making our kids cry out to Allah. My Lord, let me tell you, if I ever hear that in Franklin, North Carolina, I'm going down there, and I'm going to come unglued. Did you hear me? Did you hear me? Let me tell you, my youngin', she ain't going to bow down to Allah. Hello, I hope you would do the same thing if it happened right up here at Forbes Road. I'd hope every parent and grandparent, and I'd be right there with you storming that place and standing in to eradicate that evil that is coming in. But they're being indoctrinated to this the whole time. Jesus can't even be mentioned. Witchcraft is coming into our land. It's overflowing. Our kids are obsessed with the occult because it's being indoctrinated. Amen. I'm about ready to say something right now. I may make some of you mad tonight when I say this, but go ahead and get mad, get glad, run me whatever you want to do. But let me tell you, why in the world would a child of God want to dress their child up like a witch, ghost, or a goblin and celebrate Satan? Amen? God called me out of the darkness into the light. Did you hear me? Amen? 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 My Lord, tonight, but you'll see the increased things in this time of the year. You'll see animals go missing. There'll be sacrifices made to Satan because Halloween, they say, is his all, his high night. But I got news for you. I'm not giving him October the 31st. He don't have a day. Every day is the day that the Lord had made. And the day that he is going to get is the day that Christ binds him and throws him into a lake of fire. My Lord, do you see where society's at? Do you see where we're at right now? All because God has been left out. We've rejected Jesus Christ. We rejected the Ten Commandments of God. The Ten Commandments are rejected, and Sharia law is being brought in. And we want to know why we're having so many disasters and shaking right now. Let me tell you what's going on. Let me tell you what's going on in our political society right now. Let me tell you, it's a battle between good and evil. What this is an attack in is on Bible-believing Christians, what's going on right now. It is a spirit of Antichrist that is coming against the church. Where is the church at right now? I'll tell you where many in the church is at right now, why these things are going on. They're like Jonah. They're sleeping in the boat when people are perishing all around us. When our kids are perishing. When our kids are on their way to hell. When our family members are dying and going to hell. Lukewarm and backsliding in the storms of this world. The echoes of the tribulation are coming. I know we're not in there yet. The judgment of God is coming. The rapture of the church is coming. The wind is a-blowing. The rain is starting to pour. The thunder is cracking. The storm's getting closer. Oh, where is the church? Just like Jonah, sleeping instead of praying. I should have brought me a bed in here and laid down and just showed you what we was doing and just took me a nap, because that's what many people are doing. I told you before, little boy, he was about 9 years old, down in Robbinsville. When I first got there, I talked about how Jesus said they couldn't pray for him for a matter, how the disciples went to sleep by giving an altar call. Boy, people thought he was really praying, this little boy. He had his head laid across the altar there at Robbinsville and just snoozing away. It was hilarious. But let me tell you, it ain't hilarious when the church is a snoozing and the people are a perishing. Did you hear me? People are going to hell. Your family's going to hell. People are dying in the churches just like Jonah. When they were in the storm, guess where he was at? Dead people were rocking the boat, crying, where is this prophet of God? Where is this prophet of God at? Calling to them, they said, go wake him up. They had to go wake him up because they wanted a man of God to pray for him. Oh, there's a problem. We're sleeping. We're not concerned. People ain't, the church is not concerned what's invading their lands right now. It's increased demonic activities. How many know, can anybody sense the increasing amount of demonic activity that has taken place? Anybody other than me can sense that? How it's getting more evil and more evil by the day. Let me tell you why it's getting darker and darker out there. Let me tell you, the church needs to get up and start praying. It needs to be show forth that glorious light of Jesus Christ in this last day. Let me tell you, I'm telling you what the body of Christ, we're sitting on our petty pews, we're in our nice walls, we're in our good, comfortable air conditioned or heat, whatever you want to put it. And let me tell you, we're just a laying back and we're just a snoozing ourselves away while there's a storm that is brewing on the outside of us. And those around us are perishing. We ain't praying. We're not seeking the counsel of God. The altar's been broken down in our homes. I'm not going to ask you to answer out loud, but I'm going to ask you, how many has got an altar in their house? How many has got an altar where they get along with God at? How much time is really spent with God? Oh, I know. I know. Let me tell you. I know we got a life. I know we got things to do. There ain't one in here that probably don't have things to do. But we should never get so busy where we neglect the most important thing, our time with God. Amen. Oh, my Lord, it's time for the church to awaken. I remember a time when the church was committed to earth prayer, but now there's no commitment to prayers. The altars have been wrecked. They've been eradicated. We don't have time for that old-fashioned stuff no more. The altars is considered old-fashioned, but I'm like Jeremiah the prophet that says, give me the old ways. Amen. That we ought to pray for the old ways. Our houses, our homes are shipwrecked. Our society's in trouble. It's a train wreck all around us. Why? Because the altar is not where God wants it to be. We want to know why God's spirit ain't moving. My Lord, Brother Harold told about Wigglesworth last night. He told about some of the miracles that God done. I got a couple of his books. I got one that's compiled right there reading some of the miracles that God done. He went to work one day with appendicitis. Doctor said he'd never live, but guess what? He lived. I'm telling you, you look at it like that. Let me tell you what's going on. Why early days of Pentecost, the early days of the Church of God, the early days of the Assembly of God, the Pentecostal holiness, the early days of the Pentecostal movement were a movement that was set by prayer. Yeah, they were persecuted, but God was moving. Did you hear me? God was moving. Lord, let me tell you, the church will grow greater under persecution because it will drive them to their knees. My Lord, we want the miracles. We want to see God's presence manifest. But how can it manifest when we're not inviting him down to come into our houses? When we're neglecting it. When we're neglecting prayer. My Lord, you say, well, I pray on Sunday. That's good. What about Sunday night? What about Monday? What about Tuesday? What about Wednesday? What about Thursday? What about Friday? What about Saturday? I got news for you tonight. There's more than one day in a week. Did you hear me? There's more than one day in a week. My Lord God is calling the church to prayer. God's calling the church to awaken in this time right now. But I'm afraid we want to know why the house of God is not the house of power. Because we have neglected God. We have neglected his spirit. We've neglected our time in the altar and the things that God wants to do in our time with God. My Lord, we made the church become more about a business. We made the church become more about a social gathering than it has become a house of prayer, and it's become a house without power anymore. All because there is a neglect of prayer. Because the church in general has moved away from prayer. Amen? My Lord, you see why we ain't making an influence. I remember a time when the church prayed, people shook in their boots. Anybody else remember that age? I do down south. Let me tell you, I had a grandpa that was a preacher. Let me tell you about prayer real quick. He went out every day praying over his cotton. While all the other cotton in the land had disease and rotten away, the only one's cotton that was still doing good was his. My Lord, that's prayer for you. Putting it in the hands of God. Talking to God. Getting along with God. Being a house of God. My Lord, today I remember a time. My Lord, they told you they were going to pray for you. You started shaking. You started looking for the wall to cave in. I remember a time when I was a heathen. Mom and them told me, I've told you many times, I called on the pit bulls. They said they was going to pray. That meant they were going to get a hold of God until something happened. They told you that. You could start looking for the walls, the ceiling to collapse on you. Something was going to come your way to try to get your attention. What they prayed, what come to pass? I'm telling you, we neglect that prayer today. My Lord, and we want to know why we don't see the presence of God like God wants to do. I know some churches still pray, and I know God's presence is still going, but I think we're missing it. We're just on the tip of the iceberg in what God wants us to do if we'll really commit ourselves to pray before God. I know we saw miracles around here, but I believe it's the tip of the iceberg to what God wants to do tonight. I believe it's just a little bit to what God wants to do and what could happen if the body of Christ would commit their selves together, come into agreement, if you will. Begin to pray and seek the counsel of God and hunger for a move of God and say, God, I'm not going to let go. I'm going to hold on until I get an answer. My Lord, I've not got nothing against these lay me down to sleep prayers, but let me tell you right now, Elijah prayed a 62-word prayer and his prayer was heard when the fire come down. But they are times where you're going to have to get like Jacob and you're going to have to get down and say, I'm not getting up until you bless me. How many know he wrestled with the angel of the Lord all night long, but he said, I'm not letting go until you bless me. Can I tell you, it's time for the church to get on their knees and say, I'm not letting go until I get through, until I get an answer. We don't want that kind of prayer. We don't want to hear about that kind of prayer, because that kind of prayer is work. The reason I'm convinced that some people put their prayer on somebody else. You pray for me. Because they don't want to really commit it. And I've got nothing to get prayer requests. We ought to make our petitions now. But there's some people that don't want to pray. They don't want to take the time and really begin to seek the face of God. But if we're going to be the house of power, we've got to be the house of prayer. Because prayer will bring down the presence. And when you get the presence, you'll get the power. How many know you got to have the presence of God before you have the power of God? And if you don't have the presence of God, you don't have the power of God. My Lord, the last two nights around here, Sunday night and Monday night, there wasn't no doubt the power of God was in here. If you missed out, shame on you. Let me tell you, a house of prayer will become a house of power. A praying church is a powerful church. Did you hear me? A praying church is a powerful church. Why? Because it will put a helpless man in touch with an all-powerful God. Think about what we are in that age of power. I was reading this in a book about the power. Think about the power of atomic bomb and its awesome power. And think about the power generated by 100 megatron bombs. And these are small compared to today's potential of some of the bombs that we got. Yeah, talking about that 100 megatron bomb and those atomic bombs, having that power is like having a Hiroshima every day for 13 years. Awesome and tragic. But even though there's power in that nuclear bomb, can I tell you there's something more powerful than any weapon that man could ever make? There's something more powerful than any kind of machine gun. There's something more powerful than any army tank or aircraft that carries missiles on it. And that is the power of God's people of praying. Why? It moves heaven and earth. See what prayer does? It makes man available so that God can flow his power through them. We're like the electric lines. His power flows through us. See, Jeremiah 33:3 tells us, he says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. What are you saying, preacher? I'm telling you, a church of power, prayer will be a church that gets answers. If you pray in faith, you're going to get some answers. It may not come when you want it to come. How many know that? It may not happen just right when you expect it. There's been times I prayed something and God would answer right then and right there. Anybody else been like that? But there's things it took a while to pray, and there's things I'm still praying about right now because I'm waiting on the will of God. It don't mean he ain't going to answer it. It just means it's at the right time. Point is, you'll get an answer. I remember one time, before y'all crucified, I think I told y'all this. But I remember one time doing my MIP in the Church of God. You got to do a 9-month internship before you move up to the next level of ministry. I was doing mine up in ski country, Western North Carolina, elevation about 4,000 or 5,000 feet right there, up to 6,000 feet. My Lord, it was the middle of December. I thought, my Lord, it shouldn't be this warm out here. I've done them people like I do y'all when it comes to snow. They couldn't stand it either, because if there's a part of North Carolina it snows in, it's right there around Avery County, Watauga County, that area right there. And it snows, it puts down. I said, Lord, I want to see some snow. I got down one day just doing, I meant it too. I said, God, I want to thank you for hearing my prayer. I got down in the parking lot on my knees, put my hand to heaven and hollered out in the parking lot, God, thank you for hearing my prayer. Lord, I'm asking for you to send some snow. The day of the Christmas banquet, going to Boone. Well, by that 2 o'clock, the sun went in and it started snowing. The snowflakes were size of $0.25. It ended up being about 1 foot or 2 of snow up there. They called me and said, thank you for the prayer, because we don't get to have the Christmas banquet. I said, you're welcome. I believe God answered that. I'm telling you, there comes a time when God answers prayers. It wasn't a flurry. I can't even remember if it was in the forecast or not. I got down and I asked. Ask and you shall receive. I'm telling you, it wasn't long, the clouds started moving in and it was snowing. The sky was $0.25. So you better watch me when I get down. I've already asked for a few. No, that's what prayer does. There's been times I prayed for those that were sick. They were healed immediately. There's been times you're still praying for them. I remember a time some years back, preaching in Hickory, North Carolina, this baby's head, there was something wrong with the head, the growth of the head. They had it in a helmet. It needed a miracle. Something was wrong right there. I can't remember what was actually grown, but they was going to put a helmet on the child. We went down there. I preached that night. Brought that baby forth, laid hands. They went to the doctor and called and said, that baby don't need that helmet. It was healed that night. Let me tell you, that's the power of God. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. When the saints of God pray, there's going to be some answers. Oh, did you hear me? How do you know this? Well, the scripture tells me when the saints of God pray, there's going to be some answers. In James chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, to pray the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if you have committed sins, they shall be forgiven in him. Verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Didn't say nothing about a sinner. Didn't say nothing about a lukewarm. Said the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now let's read on down below James. He gives us something right here. Elias, which is Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly, it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Now verse 18. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain and brought forth her fruit. There's a righteous man. That word availeth means a true believer prayer goes, it will prevail. It will go through. In fact, avail in Greek is issue. And it means in James 5 and 16 to have force, to have value. One can say it's strong, it's powerful. Think about it. Earnestly in Greek, I'm trying to pronounce this, it's prosomeia. And it simply means to pray to God. To make prayer direct towards heaven. See what he's talking about right there. When the people of God pray, there's going to be answers. When you pray in faith, there's going to be answers. When you pray expecting, there's going to be answers. How many know that? How many know when Elijah prayed? I told you. 7 times each time, he sent somebody out. How many know he sent somebody out to look? They come back, not nothing, not nothing. Finally, on the last time, there was a cloud about the size of the hand of a man. And that's what produced the rain. His prayer answered right there. It was fervent. It was strong. It was powerful. Because he was in right relationship with God. What would happen if the church would gather in prayer and be committed to prayer? What would happen if the body of Christ would really commit themselves back to prayer like they need to be? I'm telling you, I believe we could shake this earth. I believe we could overturn some things. I believe we could be a force in this last day. Listen here, Houston Town. I know people say, oh, you're just a small church. Well, let me tell you something. If this Houston Town church, if it will commit itself to prayer, if it will commit itself to praying, and I'm not just talking about at church, I'm talking about at home, establishing an altar, if everybody would just do that, can I tell you, this church would be a greater force than it is right now. It could shake Fulton County. It could put some drug dealers out of business. Amen? It could bring some people out of perversion. It could set some alcoholics free around here. Amen? Let me tell you, not only could you not shake Fulton County, you could shake the state of Pennsylvania. Amen? When God's people pray, you may not just shake Pennsylvania. You may shake the United States. Well, let's take it a little farther. When God's people pray, you may not just shake your country, but you could shake the world. But it all comes down to being right and being committed to prayer. Oh, preacher, you really believe that? I think too often we think of the prophets of old and the apostles of the New Testament as being superhuman. That's error. In fact, James told us right there that Elijah was a man subject to like passions as you and I. He wasn't no Superman. That's what he was saying. He's just like the rest of us. Elijah was just like you and I. The old saying, you know, we talk about, they put their pants on the same way we put our on. Well, that's what he's saying right there in essence. Get it down. That he was just like anyone else. wasn't nothing superhuman about them, not like the human, the apostles. You look at the prophets, just like you and I. Isaiah, Enoch, all of those, Elijah, you go on. Paul, look in the Bible, the apostles and the prophets. Go on through the list. They were just like you and I. But what made them so powerful? I'll tell you why. They were a house of prayer. They believed in seeking God. They were people committed to prayer. They were people who were committed to Him. Can I tell you? I'm convinced God could raise you up to be a prophet or an apostle, just like these. You can see the great miracles God does in your life, just like they done. But you got to be committed to prayer. Let me tell you something else about them. Not only were they committed to prayer, they dared to believe God. They dared to believe God. Sister Marcy, you can get ready to come. They believed God. They said that what they prayed for, they expected it. How many know that? I think too often people don't expect anymore. I think too often people ain't looking for God to move anymore. Too often people ain't looking for God to do the work in their life anymore. But these prophets believed what God said, that it was going to be done. How many know that? What they prayed for is what they expected. They dared to believe God. Let me tell you something. I think the problem today is many people want to look at themselves as the object of faith instead of looking at Jesus Christ and His work. People don't know the Word of God. See, you got to have faith to believe God. How does faith come? Romans 10 and 17 tells us plainly. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I'm not just talking about your ears, because there's a lot of people who hear it with this natural ear, but they won't let it get in their spirit. They don't let it take root and grow in their spirit. They don't let the seed in their spirit. They'll bring it one ear and right out the other, huh? But when you get to the point, it says, I believe you, Jesus, that I'm going to believe what you told me, and you're committed to prayer, and you can believe Him like that, you're opening yourself to a life of miracles. Amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you, God ain't never made me rich. I'm not famous, but I can tell you honestly, especially my life, my ministry has been characterized. I've lived miracles, one right after the other. I've seen God meet needs when it looked impossible. God would come through pastoring in Robbinsville. Told many times, but there's some here that ain't heard. Give me a few more minutes. You need to keep playing, Sister Marcy. Pastor in a small church, no income coming in. One night, God said, have revival. How am I going to pay the speakers? God said, just have revival. God said, enough money to pay the speakers, pay the church off, paid the park lot, fix the septic tank, and put gravel in. And got enough to pay the bills during the winter and give this preacher a little bit. Another time, was down to nothing. Wasn't going to be nobody there that Sunday morning. God said, open the door. God, you know the family's at the hospital. Open the door. One person. Now the account was down to very little. The young lady come in there. Said, I want to pay my tithes. I didn't think nothing much of it. Oh, she'd come in, just put an envelope in my hand, handed it to me. Walked out the door. She said, I got to go, but here's my tithes. I said, okay, $1,500, something like that. I looked at our star account, $100, $200, $300, $400, $2,800, $100 bills for the church. Never was expected. Miracle after miracle. I've seen miracle after miracle. Just last year, y'all know this. I was down to 130 pounds. had septic all over me, the poison coming out of my back. Wasn't going to a doctor until I finally got sick enough. Wasn't going to tell you how sick I really was. There was about five things wrong with me. They thought I had an abscess on my kidney. The doctor said, here's the words that doctor told me. I've never seen somebody in the shape that you was like this. With an abscess on your kidney and one on your intestines. They already had a surgeon ready. I said, oh, God. But I remember that Friday night going into that hospital, going through that machine they had over at Chambersburg. God said, the anointing on you is greater than any disease. And I told you before, I saw the sickness coming beforehand. God showed me pestilence, but it showed me the anointing destroyed. He reminded me of that. They already thought I was going to have surgery. We don't know when you're getting out of here. Your sugar's high. I'm drinking Mountain Dews today. I ought to tell you something. Listen. They was already planning to cut me. Oh, God, you're going to have to. I don't know when I'm going to get out of here. Maybe I let this go a little too long. But, God, I know you can touch me. I'm believing, God, you to touch me. I want to get out of here. I want to have me a steak. This hospital food is nasty. There were some things I sent back. I said, I won't eat that. Feed me something good. But I had somebody over there that went to Hardee's up the road for me. But no, let me tell you what happened. Short, sweet. They come in that I was watching Jimmy Swaggart. And during that service, I could feel somebody come in the room. Couldn't see him. I could feel him. Touch my body like a fire all over it, but it would not burn. Then Monday morning, to the amazement of the nurse, that nurse that told me I was going to have to be on needles, insulin shots, the one I told I wouldn't, the doctor come in there and said, you're going home today, there ain't no abscesses, all that's gone, and you don't have to be on no needles. That nurse looked like this. I said, thank you, Jesus. It's Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth. I can go miracle after miracle. I told you, when we just got back from North Carolina, my shoulder went out and my elbow went out of whack. My hand, I was having a hard time sleeping with the pain, the arthritis or something was in it. I come over here, I went with it about a week. I said, God, you got to take care of it. I thought it would just go out on its own. The Lord told me, he said, just start moving your hand. Put it in there. I went and started doing this, even though it hurt a few times. But as I done that, the pain went gone. The pain disappeared as I moved it to God. I can tell you more miracles after more miracles that God, an answered prayer that God has done in my life and done in the church's life. But you got to dare to believe God. You can stand in here tonight if you're able. I want you to know tonight God is wanting the church to become a house of prayer. Without prayer, the church is powerless. Without prayer, there's no lifeline. There's no communication with God. There's no open door for miracles to take place. Some of you, God is calling this time for you to establish an altar. But there's people in here under my voice. I can't help but to feel in my spirit tonight that God says, if you just believe me, if you'll put it in my hand and commit it to me, I'll take care of it. But you need to lay it down before me. You need to call on me in prayer tonight. You need to commit it to me. You need to pray about it. You need to give it over to me tonight. Whether it's sickness, problems, trials, heartaches, God's saying, put it in my hand. You trouble not, Jesus. Lord, I prayed and I prayed. Let me tell you something. I want to tell you right now, the Lord says you don't trouble him. You don't trouble him giving you your requests. Let me tell you something. My little girl, let me tell you, she can ask me 10,000 times a day. You know what? That 10,000 one time, it ain't going to trouble me because she's my child. She's my child. She's my child. Because she's my child. She can ask me all the time. She can keep me up all the days of the night, all she wants. If she'd call me at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'd get up out of bed and I would talk to her, not complain about it. Because she's mine. She's my child. Well, if I do her like that, don't you think God the Father will do you like that too? You don't trouble him tonight. God's saying, put it in his hand. Commit to prayer, Houston Town Church of God. These altars are open. You got a miracle tonight. You need a miracle, God. God's saying, bring it up here. Bring it and commit it to prayer. Put it in my hands. Believe me. I will do great and mighty things. I will move. I'll answer. Oh, in the name of Jesus, we pray for your hand. Pray for your anointing, and we pray for your spirit, Lord, to be upon each one in here tonight. God, in the name of Jesus, we commit it to prayer tonight. We commit it to you, O Lord. Lord, we give you glory. We give you praise, and we give you honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.